Spirit1400.com.
Spirit 1400, the spirit of today's gospel.
The spirit of today's gospel.
The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed are those of the program sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1400 and its management.
Good afternoon, Baltimore, and all who have chosen to listen into this program this afternoon. This program is brought to you by the Glen Burnie Church of Christ. We meet at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie, Maryland. Zip code is 210-661. And as the introduction said, this is what we do and say on this program does not reflect the views and the opinions of the station owners or those who work at the station. Only we use God's word to answer the questions and comments that are called in. And we do hope you're listening. This is a beautiful Saturday afternoon. The weather is nice, although it could be a little bit warmer, but it's nice enough to bring people outside. And hopefully, if you're outside, you're listening to us by way of your smartphones or your car radios, and that you have questions concerning those things that are spiritual to you. We have a Bible correspondence program that you can call in and request. It's free of charge to you. And the number for that correspondence program is 410-761-3795. The number at the station is 410-481-1400. Again, we are hoping that you have some issues concerning the way you worship. If you do not worship at a Church of Christ, then you should have issues. Recently, someone said to me that we don't talk about the Catholic Church enough. Well, yes, we do talk about the Catholic Church. This individual had been watching a documentary concerning the Catholic Church, and he discovered that they thought or they think of Peter as the first pope. Well, if that is the case, Peter was married. And if Peter was married, where do they get this doctrine where their leadership is to be single? They can't have wives. And over here in Mark, the first chapter, in verse 30, we see where the inspired writer says, "But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and they tell Anon." This is a word that's not used anymore. And Anon, which means soon, they tell him of her. Well, if Simon Peter had a wife, when did their doctrine of celibacy start? You know, in one of the first qualifications for a bishop is that the bishop must be the husband of one wife. And God set these standards, not man. God set these standards. So who gives the Catholic Church the authority to change God's word? Well, they can change God's word as far as their doctrine is concerned because they are not recognized by God. God only had authorized one church, and he authorized his son to build that church. Over in Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And unto you, Peter, will be given the keys to the kingdom of heaven." He didn't say Peter would build the church, nor did he say Peter would be the, a pope in his church. There aren't any popes in Christ's church. You have bishops and you have deacons. And the Bible gives the qualifications for both. It don't give a qualification for a preacher. A preacher is to be a man and he's to be learned. And he's to teach and preach nothing but God's word. And First Timothy 4, Paul said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." No, let's go to Second Timothy. Second Timothy 4, Paul wrote to young Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And this is the instruction for a preacher. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And he tells us to reprove. That means if someone is out of line, we are to rebuke him or expose this individual. And you know, I see in a lot of the churches that wear Christ's name, they don't reprove, they don't rebuke, they don't exhort, except where it comes to the money. Now, when it comes to the money, they do a lot of encouraging. But these aren't sound congregations. These are congregations that are doing nothing but wearing Christ's name. And they're doing it falsely. And we're warned by Christ in Matthew 24 and verse 4. He said, take heed that no man deceives you, because many will come in my name. These people will come expressing portions of God's word in order to draw people out after them. In Acts the 20th chapter, Paul warned the elders at Ephesus that some would, let me read it for you rather than quote it. It's in verse 29. Paul said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. If Paul warned the elders at Ephesus, why is it so far-fetched for brethren today to challenge preachers? I remember when they were hiring a preacher at a certain congregation, and this congregation has gone so far afield that I like to say they're walking sideways now. When they were hiring a preacher, it was suggested to them that they vet the preacher. And I'm told that the brethren who were in charge of finding a preacher thought it crazy to vet a preacher. Said, we're not supposed to vet a preacher. Well, why not? Paul said that some would arise among you from among yourselves speaking perverse things. In 1 John 4 and 1, the writer says, try the spirit to see whether it is of God. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Again, the phone number here is 410-481-1400. And as I said at the start of the program, if you want a Bible correspondence course covering a lot of different topics that you may be confused about, the number for that is 410-761-3795. Now, the Bible correspondence courses, we cover topics such as baptism. Is it necessary that you get baptized in order to be saved? A lot of people teach that it's not. And they don't use scripture, except sometimes when they're challenged by scripture, they always ask, But what about the thief on the cross? Well, I always respond, well, what about the thief on the cross? They say the thief on the cross wasn't baptized. And I always ask, read it to me. And they go quiet because it doesn't say whether or not the thief on the cross was baptized or not. In fact, I can use a more reasoning to suggest that the thief on the cross was baptized than anyone can use to suggest that he wasn't. The thief on the cross recognized Christ. Well, how did he recognize Christ? Evidently, he must have seen Christ or heard of Christ before. And John did a lot of baptizing, but if he was baptized under John, then John's baptism was null and void when Christ came, when Christ rose from the grave, his baptism became null and void. We have a question here. It says, the caller says that in the beginning, Adam and Eve were the first married couple. After that, brothers were marrying sisters. Doesn't that make God a God of confusion? Since God cannot lie, please comment on this. Well, we don't know whether or not people were marrying brothers and sisters back there. We know that they were marrying cousins and first cousins and maybe even half brothers and half sisters. And we don't know that that there weren't more people back there in the beginning, because the Bible doesn't say. It said Adam and Eve were the first ones that God made. He made Adam first, and then he made Eve. And then Adam and Eve, once they broke God's law and realized they were naked, they started having children. Now, we don't know. The Bible doesn't say whether or not that there were other people. I tend to think that there were other people. I don't know, though, because the Bible doesn't say. So God is not a God of confusion. And the caller is right. Since God cannot lie, God cannot lie. And why would God need to lie? He is God. I've had people, when people create denominations and say things like baptism isn't necessary for salvation, then they are calling God a lie, because God said baptism is necessary for salvation. Matthew 28 and verse 18 and 19. After Jesus rose from the grave, in verse 18, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So Jesus himself says that baptism is necessary for salvation. And everybody that is saved after that was baptized. When Peter opened the doors to the church in Acts the second chapter, after he finished preaching his sermon on the day of Pentecost, the Jews there Acts, what the Bible says in verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a lot of people think that the gift of the Holy Ghost are miraculous powers. But that is not what he's talking about here. The gift of the Holy Ghost is salvation. That's what he's talking about. And you receive that gift after you meet certain conditions, last of which is baptism for the remission of your sins. And one more thing. You cannot be baptized, cannot be taught wrong and baptized right. In order to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you must know why you are being baptized, so that you can go out and teach others as well what they must do in order to be baptized. Dwayne, somebody on that. Okay, we have a caller online.
Hey. Okay. How you doing?
All right.
I wanted to make a comment or ask you.
Okay, just a minute. I'm getting a lot of feedback. Okay, were you on the cell phone?
I am.
Okay, well, I'm getting a buzz. Okay, come on.
Are you still getting a buzz now?
Yeah, but I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I wanted to make a comment about your baptism statement, and I wanted to ask about the Sabbath. I don't know which one I can do.
Okay, either one.
Oh, my man. The comment I want to make about the baptism, I like the latter part you said, but I adamantly disagree with baptism as a necessity for salvation. I argue that there are no prerequisites to salvation, meaning that if Almighty God does not draw you, then you will not be saved, along with the decision you make. A person has to be free to make a decision to choose the Almighty as the Almighty initiates some type of consciousness of who he is in the individual. But my question really is the Sabbath.
Let's not go to the Sabbath yet. Let's deal with the baptism issue first.
Okay.
Now, you heard me read Matthew 28 verses.
Yeah, you read that, but you didn't explain what that was saying, like y'all often do. But go ahead.
Okay. Okay, let's go back there. Let's go back there.
Okay.
Okay, Matthew
28.
I'm turning to it now. And I'm using the King James Version.
And I love you for that. I appreciate that.
Okay.
But you got twisted though, bro. You got twisted. You twist that Bible. Go ahead.
Okay. Now we're gonna discuss this. You say I'm twisting it. We're gonna look at it.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Matthew 28 we'll just go to verse 19.
Yeah, 19. That's right.
Jesus the Christ says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." So he is saying, go and baptize people.
Yes.
But you are saying it's not necessary.
For salvation. See how you add that? See how you twist that? Now,
wait a minute. Let's go back to Acts, the second chapter.
Okay.
Now we don't need to go through all that. We know that Peter preached that sermon on the day of Pentecost, right?
Who did he preach it to, sir?
He preached it to the Jews.
There you go.
He preached it to the Jews.
And he did that for a reason.
And what was
but
the
you
reason?
Haven't settled. See, that's what I'm saying. You haven't settled.
No. What that? Was the reason?
Go ahead. But I can answer that.
Okay.
But you know how we got to be disciplined. You hadn't said that. You hadn't said the reason why. You hadn't said the reason why you quoted that in Matthew. I argued.
I didn't quote it. I read it.
That statement.
I didn't quote it. I read it.
Okay. The what you read in Matthew.
Right.
Baptism there. And it's not speaking about baptism being a necessity for salvation. He was talking to his disciples, sir.
He was talking to the apostles. He was talking to the apostles, right?
Are you telling me?
Wait a minute now. Let's give it. This is a give and take thing. We're going over here to Acts, the second chapter, where he's talking to, where Peter is preaching to the Jews. Okay? Peter is preaching to the Jews. After he preached to the Jews and accused them of killing Christ, then they asked, the Jews asked. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?"
Right.
Okay. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent.
There you go.
And be baptized.
That's right.
Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for what? For the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now, what's confusing about that?
No, there's nothing confusing about that. He was talking to a people
right?
who was rebellious.
Right.
Who did not look at Yeshua as their Messiah.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute, because you mentioned the fact that it was given to that they were being preached to the Jews. Okay, let's go to Romans the first chapter.
Okay,
Paul in Romans first chapter in verse 16, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is what was preached to the Jews on Pentecost. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. The Jews received it first on the day of Pentecost, and also to the Greek.
Absolutely. You're reading well, sir.
What you're trying to do is patronize me. What is that telling us there, that particular verse?
What you're saying, that's saying a lot. You went to several different scriptures, and there are several different things that are transpiring along and during the context and the culture of those scriptures. But I want to rewind back to Matthew.
Go back.
You're saying that it is a necessity. That's not what's being spoken about in the book of Matthew.
What is this being spoken about?
You're saying it's a necessity that we be baptized for salvation. That will conflict with what it says in Ephesians.
Well, that was said in Acts the second chapter, verse 38, to you.
No, that was being practiced. That was being practiced, and it was actually said in the book of Luke. If you go to the book of Luke and 24th chapter,
right,
and the 44th verse,
right,
and it goes all down through the page,
right. Now Luke 24 and Luke 24 and verse 44. What is Christ telling his disciples then?
But notice who he's talking to.
No, that's not. I know who he's talking to. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his disciples.
So let's take that. Let's take the Talmudim. Let's take the disciples. Those people are not longing for salvation. They already have it.
They do not have it.
They do have it.
How did they get it?
They got delivered through the gospel. What you say?
They got. Well, read it to me. Read it to me. Read it to me.
I don't have it in front of me to read.
Read it to me. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. God doesn't make suggestions. He gives commandments.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now you said that the people there already have salvation. If they already had salvation, then Jesus died in vain, did he?
No, you're saying that. I'm not.
You said it. You said the people in Luke the 24th chapter already had salvation.
Yes. Absolutely.
Read it to me.
Yeah, they already been delivered, sir.
Read it to me.
You read it.
I didn't read it. No, sir. I did not read it.
Oh, well, no, you didn't read Luke, but you read those other scriptures, but you're not going to twist me up.
I'm not trying to twist you. No, you okay, let's go to another passage.
Baptism is not a necessity for salvation. That's what I'm arguing.
And you can argue it all day long, but if you don't read it to me from God's word, Jesus says that it was.
He said salvation. What does Ephesians 2:8 say?
I don't know. Read it to me. You don't have a Bible in front. Let me go to it. Ephesians 2:8.
Yes.
Let me go to it. Okay. Right. Ephesians 2:8. Okay, here it is. It's Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God.
That's salvation, my brother.
No, the grace is Christ's, is baptism.
No, it is not. Now show me that. Show me that.
Okay, wait a minute, because you're catching me off guard a little bit here, and
I got you.
No, you don't have me. You're twisted in the head. You don't want to take what God says.
They shouldn't let you by yourself today. I like getting on that other guy.
Well, I like for you to call back when I have some help. Yeah, so we can, and you don't have, you're making assumptions.
Assumptions.
What you've done is taken one scripture, Ephesians 2:8, Ephesians 2:8, and you want to apply it across the board.
It is across the board.
And you want to throw out all the other scripture.
No, I don't want to throw out anything.
Okay, let's go
rightly divided. That's all that I'm
saying. And 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All the scriptures. Okay.
Yes.
You went and grabbed that one scripture, Ephesians 2:8, and took that scripture and canceled out every other scripture that God has given us. Well, yes, I wish you had. Look, the next time you call, call from a landline or a better phone.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Call from, because I can barely hear you.
Thanks
for getting
my call in. I'll call you guys later.
Okay, thank you. The point is, now see, my man is he's arguing logic. He's trying to argue logic, and logic does not cut it when it comes to the word of God. Jesus said emphatically, "Go ye into all the world and teach every nation, baptizing them." He said baptizing them in Acts the second chapter, in verse 38. We have the example of the of baptism being put into practice, and he tells us what it's for the remission of sins. That's salvation. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. That is what the gift is for. And then we have over here in Acts Acts the 10th chapter, we have the Gentiles being accepted in the plan of salvation, or in God's grace. Cornelius' household was baptized for the remission of their sins. This is what Romans 1 and verse 16 says, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Jews received it first, and then the Gentiles received it. So if you're out there, and again, the phone number here is 410-481-1400. I hope the gentleman calls back on a better phone so I can hear him better. And we can have him, and hopefully he'll have his Bible in front of him. And, you know, I was working with a gentleman once. We were studying together, and every time we would get to baptism, he would throw it out and go back to John 3:16. John 3:16 was it for him. He said he didn't care what anyone said. John 3:16 is all he needed. Now, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He said, when I asked him, I said, as far as you are concerned, you can throw the rest of the Bible out. He said, yes, as far as I'm concerned, the rest of the Bible has no meaning for me. Now, that is what a lot of people think, that John 3:16 is it. Now, if someone came to them with a book and all it had in there was John 3:16, they would think that person is crazy. John, it had no background. It has no reason for Christ to come. It wouldn't have anything leading up to Christ. It wouldn't have anything after Christ gave his life and shed his blood to purchase the church, or any of that. You must read the whole Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You must know what is for us today and what isn't for us. And I realized, I think we had another caller that got tired of waiting. But if that caller would like to call back, I would appreciate it. When someone calls, we try to answer all of their questions or take all of the comments that are relevant to spirituality. And if you do call, please call on a phone that will make your that will be clear, and we can understand you properly. So, as I was stating earlier about the thief on the cross, evidently, this gentleman who didn't give his name, he believes that the thief on the cross probably wasn't baptized. But you cannot make assumptions where the Bible is concerned. The Bible is plain and is simple, but you have to study it on a regular basis, on a continual basis. We have Ann on line one. Ann, you're on.
Oh, hello. I was wondering, I'm sure there's somewhere in the Bible that explains all this, but I recently went to a church and the preacher there swore he was a prophet of God because God spoke to him during traffic and told him to anoint the sick people with oil and lay his hands on them and pray for them and they would be healed. Now, I'm sure there's verses against that, so I'll hang up and let you explain. Thank you.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Appreciate your call. I'm trying to think of the verse that where we are warned about people who falsely claim. Let's see, Peter, 1 Peter, the first chapter, I believe it is 1 Peter. Give me a minute to get there, a second rather. First Peter, 1:20 says, no, it's not 1 Peter 1:20. It's, let me check 2 Peter 1:20. Okay, no, it's not that either. I'm receiving some help by way of the phone, but it's not. I apologize for running a blank on you. But there, we are warned. Well, 1 John 4:1. There you go. 1 John 4:1 tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In fact, there are no prophets today. If we had, was a need for prophets, then there wouldn't be a need for the Word of God. When the Word of God was finished, that was it. The prophets died out, and all miraculous gifts was, phased away. In fact, First Corinthians 13 tells us that when, let me get to it. See, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And then it says, verse 8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, a lot of people think that that verse is applying to Christ, but it's not applying to Christ. It says when that which is perfect, not when he who is perfect come, but when that which is perfect come. That word perfect simply means complete. And that which is perfect is the Word of God. When that is completed, which it is, we have no more need for prophets. And when people claim that, like the gentleman, the preacher claimed, with Ann, that he had some special gifts, then the Bible tells us, try the Spirit to see whether it's of God. If he has some miraculous gifts, then let him defy the laws of nature. Let him go and heal someone that you know is sick. Someone has a broken arm, let him touch that broken arm and heal it right away. Or someone has a terminal illness, touch that person and let that person get up right away. Don't stomach aches and headaches, and they don't count, because anybody can claim to get be over a stomach ache or a headache. Now we have a is he on? Okay. All right. We have a caller on line one.
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, this is Brother Thomas again. Since you claimed you couldn't hear me, sir.
Right. I can hear you now.
I called back so you can hear my wonderful voice.
Okay.
Okay, my argument was when you used the scripture in Matthew 28.
Right.
Most Christians refer to that as the commission.
The Great Commission,
but, yeah, right. But you were talking in regards of baptism.
Right.
And I said I respectfully disagree, I adamantly disagree with that notion. Baptism is not salvation, meaning that there are no prerequisites to salvation. And that's why I refer you to Ephesians 2 and 8 to show you that scripture is not nullify or cancel or throw away any other scriptures you use. It's just the purpose of that being the fundamental foundational scripture on who Almighty God is, and that if Almighty God doesn't save you, then you won't be saved. So salvation is two parts. The first part is the initial installment of Almighty God, where he makes your conscience aware of who he is, and then the second part is you choosing. Now, I'm not saying baptism is not necessary. I'm saying it's not necessary for salvation. That's all I'm arguing
well,
with you about.
First of all, how are we called? Because you've talked about God being known to us, making himself known to us, and then he saves us. I've never heard that before, but how does the Bible say we are called?
When you say we, you have to define what we are.
We Christians, mankind. Let me put it this way, mankind.
Oh, okay. Almighty God calls for several different reasons.
I said how. How does he call us?
He calls. I think I used the word drawn. When he draws you, the initial part is Almighty God drawing you. That's what I use initially. He draws you unto himself, but he doesn't make a decision for you to make a decision.
How does he draw you then?
Okay.
Give me scripture.
You use one scripture, which is real good, in Romans 1 and 16, where you say the gospel. He calls you through his word.
He calls you by the gospel. That's 2 Timothy 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way we are called by the gospel.
Okay. All right. I got that.
Okay. Now, when on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the gospel,
yes.
What happened? Those people.
We went over that. And I,
no. Well, let's go over it again.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's go over it again. The people were 3,000 people were called by the gospel.
Yes.
3,000 people.
Three thousand Jews.
Were baptized.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah.
3,000 people were baptized, but they were baptized after they heard the word. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay. And when they heard the word, they were told what they must do.
Yes.
Repent.
Yes.
First.
That's a necessity. Yes.
And be baptized.
Absolutely.
for the remission of their sins.
Absolutely, sir.
And they would receive what?
The gift of the Holy Spirit.
And what is the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
What is the gift of the Holy Spirit?
You tell me.
It's salvation.
Okay, if you say so.
Not if I say so.
Yeah, if you say so.
Not if I say so.
Do you... I would look at the gift of the Holy Spirit as an empowerment.
As an empowerment.
It is. But here's the thing, though. You use Matthew 28. You're trying to get away from that.
No, I'm not trying to get away from that. That is part. That is the beginning. Matthew 28 yeah. is the beginning of the New Testament.
Oh, here we go with this New Testament thing. Okay, I'm around.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with the New Testament?
I got you.
What's wrong with the New Testament?
There's nothing wrong with the renewed Testament. But to call Matthew the New Testament is a mistake. But that's not our argument. Our argument is okay. You said baptism.
Okay, let's go to 1 Peter, the third chapter, beginning at verse 20. Are you able to have a Bible in front of you?
Yeah, yes, I
okay,
am.
Let's go All to right. 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. Okay. Say so at beginning at verse 20 it says
about no private interpretation or something.
Okay. No. No.
First Peter three and twenty. Okay. Come on.
And it says, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water.
Yes.
The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Okay?
Okay.
You said so baptism is necessary for salvation. What does the Bible say?
That's not what that says.
What did it say?
I'm going to tell you exactly what it say.
I'm
going to do like you do. I'm going to jump ship and go over to Ephesians 2 and 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith and not that of yourselves.
Exactly, not that of yourself. We can't do anything except do what God says.
You can baptize yourself. And a matter of fact, they did that often in their culture. They always...
They baptized themselves?
Yes, you can baptize yourself.
Give me an example. Give me a scriptural example. Give me a scriptural example.
I just told you, in that culture...
No. Give me a scriptural example.
But this is what I'm saying to you. You use Matthew.
I just read to you what the Bible says.
Matthew is not teaching us that baptism is a prerequisite of salvation.
1 Peter 3:20-21.
1 Peter 3 is not telling you that baptism is a salvation of
Let me read it to you again. Let me read it to you again.
You go against your own argument.
Let me read it to you again.
You don't have to read it to me again. I know what it says clearly.
And you don't accept it.
Wait a minute.
And you're not accepting it.
I expect you to do this if you're on your show.
No, you're not accepting it.
But you're not accepting it.
Wait a minute. You're not accepting
it. I'm not accepting your interpretation.
I'm not interpreting it.
You can get a fourth grader to read that.
And if you didn't influence him, he would understand it.
That's what you guys do. You read surface.
Okay, well, look, since you're not going to be civil and you're not going to answer the question, you're saying that the Bible doesn't say that. I just read it to you where it says eight souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does now save us. And you said you're not going to accept it. Okay. All right. That's it. Thank you for your call. You see, and this is what a lot of people do. They, as I said, you can take fourth graders, and I've done this, and give them certain script passages to read, and if no one influences them, they will read it and understand it. The Bible clearly says eight souls were saved by water. It clearly stated that baptism does now also save us, and he refused to accept the word of the living God. Again, the phone number here is 410-481-1400. And it's a shame that you can't read and understand the scriptures as plainly as it those passages are. You know, it was in Acts the, let me see if I can find it real quick for you. In Acts, when Acts the 17th chapter, I believe it is, I want to read to you what the Bereans, it said, let me find it here real quick. The, memo in Acts, in Acts the 17th chapter, and beginning at verse 10, and says, "And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming there went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." In other words, they were able, whenever Paul, or whatever Paul taught them, they searched the scriptures to check to make sure that what Paul was saying was truth. And this is what you're supposed to do. But you can't take the scriptures and start twisting them to your own agenda. Baptized means baptized. It means water immersion, to be immersed in water. It's sort of like members of the Watchtower Society calling themselves Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, the word witness means the same thing today as it did 2,000 years ago. It means someone who has seen or heard something firsthand. And what they've done was pervert the definition of the word witness, because they are not witnesses of God. And this is what this gentleman was doing. He is twisting. He is taking the word baptized. Well, he's taking the whole scriptures, all of the scriptures, and throwing them out. And he said, as far as he's concerned, Ephesians 2 and 8, that's it for him. That's all he needs. Again, the number here, 410-481-1400. And if you would like to have a Bible correspondence course dwelling on baptism or prophecy or denominations or the church period, 410-761-3795. Now, another thing I would like to talk about is our penchant for using titles. Now, they do that in the denominational world, and they also do it in the Church of Our Lord. A lot of people don't recognize that they are doing it, but they are doing it with the word brother. They've taken that word, it's a term of endearment, but they've taken that word and made it a title. Now, you know, in the denominational world, they a lot of their ministers are addressed as Reverend Doctor, Reverend Doctor, or Bishop Doctor, or Holy Apostles. I mean, all of these things are ridiculous. And in Job, the 32nd chapter, Job wrote, "Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man." I was reading an article one day, written in a magazine that's supposed to be a Christian magazine, and they were talking about certain gospel preachers who have passed from this life, and one of these ministers, this one hasn't passed from this life, but he was a well-known president of a Christian college. And they often refer to him as Doctor. He wears that proudly. And I've witnessed where people are afraid to even address him except as a doctor or brother. Well, in this particular article, he was addressed as brother doctor. Now, they've crossed the line, and people wonder why I don't like the term brother. It's because they abuse it like that. In fact, I heard this minister's wife, this was some years back, referred to as first lady. And nobody had a problem with that. But they're all supposed to be Christians. And it doesn't surprise me with it, because I heard this guy once just stop short of endorsing hand clapping during the worship service or during singing. And he used the Ethiopian eunuch to make this remark. And this man is well educated. He's referred to as the great debater. I said to myself when he did this, he knows that the Ethiopian eunuch was not in church. He could have blew horns that day he was baptized. It would not have mattered because he was not in church. Our instructions pertaining to singing, to the musical worship, it applies to church worship service, not to a jam session or anything like that. It applies to worship service. There are certain things that we are to do during worship service. The Bible tells us to let everything be done decently and in order. And the only way to do that is to do it according to God's word. If you are to come to God, you must come to God on his terms, not on your terms. And if you come to him telling him, you know, I don't know if anybody, not even the devil, had the gall to tell him that baptism isn't necessary for salvation. He tried to trick people. He'll trick other folk into saying things like that. But I don't think the devil has that nerve, because the Bible tells me the devil believe in the book of James. Says the devils believe and tremble. And why mankind won't believe and tremble is beyond my comprehension. But my job is to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He tells us what to use. Doctrine, the word of the living God, is what we are to use when we are teaching or preaching or reproving or exhorting. It's the word of God that we are to use. Now, again, the number here is 410-481-1400. If you have a question or a comment concerning anything I've said here, please call. Then there's something else that's been going on this week that has me disturbed. This always disturbs me when I read things about homosexuality, how people encourage homosexuality, how they made it. If someone speaks against it now, they jack that person up and have that person apologizing and running for cover. And the reason that is because they don't know the word of God. And it's so plain and easy. I know one day they're probably going to get us off the air because they don't dare challenge us on air. I've called out the names of public people or people in public who have encouraged this disgusting conduct, and even in the Lord's church, you have that mess. And I've seen where people accept certain of of folk who practice this type of behavior. They don't say a word. They just let them come around and they keep silent. When you are silent about something, that means you are approving of it. And when you are approving of sin, you are a part of that sin. We have on the line Charles. Charles?
Yes, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I was listening to your comment on the radio station. I like what you're saying because you got to go down in Jesus' name for the remission of your sin.
Correct.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But you need the Holy Ghost as the power of the salvation. Hallelujah. So the only way you can have salvation is through God's Spirit. To be led by God, led by the Spirit of God. So I do accept your doctrine because you got to go down in His name. And I go back and forth with different people about it and all. And I got to work on different scriptures about, you know, what it says in 1 Peter and all. So I'm going to update more on my studies because, you know, it's the truth to have the power of God. Because in all that, you might not can't see God, but you can feel God's Spirit on the inside.
Yeah, it's not my doctrine. It's God's doctrine.
It's God's doctrine. That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
It's God's doctrine.
And the only way to know His doctrine is to study His word. And
right.
That's a daily occurrence because I wasn't blessed with a photographic memory, so that I have to study on a regular basis, and we are commanded to study. A lot of people think that commandment is strictly to preachers, but it's not. When he said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. That is directed to every Christian, male or female.
Yes, sir.
You can't respond to people's questions and comments with opinions because everybody has an opinion.
Right.
And your opinion is no better than my opinion, and my opinion is no worse than your opinion. So you have to be able to read and understand the Word of God. That doesn't change. The Word of God doesn't change. If you change it, like the earlier gentleman, he changed it. He just took baptism and threw it out.
Right. And when you go to Romans 6, and through that scripture,
right,
talks about being buried with him through baptism.
Through baptism, exactly right.
You bury that old man, that old nature, that old person is being crucified with Christ.
Right. He wouldn't accept First Peter 3:20, where it said that water of the eight souls were saved by water, and that baptism does now also save you. He wanted the scripture. I gave it to him.
Right,
he says, I'm not going to accept it. Well, that's it.
And even when I went down in Jesus' name, I even felt like myself, without the Holy Ghost there, I even felt renewed through the baptism.
You were renewed. You were clean. At that moment, you were cleaner than you would ever be again in your life. Your past sins were washed away.
Well, I tell you what, God, He threw a double blessing on me, boy, because when He said with the Holy Ghost, I was drunk like new wine. Hallelujah!
All right.
He must have put a double whammy on me, a double blessing on me, God did.
Well, we
he
thank
you. He puts up on me.
I thank you for your call, and we'll be here again next week.
What time do you have radio station?
From 12 to 1 o'clock every Saturday.
God bless you, sir.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Charles. Okay, we're running out of time here. We had a good time. I enjoyed the call from the gentleman who rejected God's word. It was an example of how people do with God's word. And I was glad the audience had an opportunity to listen to it. Tomorrow we meet on the Lord's Day. A Bible study is at 9:30 a.m. Our worship is at 10:30 a.m. And again, we meet at 6 p.m. at 2 Eastern Street, Glen Burnie. The first exit after you get on 97, you make a left turn on Baltimore, Annapolis, Boulevard, and you go down to the next light and make another left, and you're right there in the parking lot. So until next week, good day.
WWIN Baltimore. WWIN HD Baltimore. On the way.